Josh Davis, just to put you on the spot, would you mind reading through this psalm that we're about to put up here? And you can say no, it would just be very awkward for me. But I'm going to preach through Psalm 27 today, but I would love to just read through it first, and then I'm going to share some thoughts.
Gladly. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you. Seek his face. And Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Yeah. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Josh. So yesterday I was, I just said yesterday I was going to make this seem like it was in the far distant past, but now we're in, so here it is. Karen and I were doing errands yesterday. We took a Sabbath on Friday, and then we were just puttering around the house getting things done, and she was out in the yard and doing some things, and I looked over to this woman that I've been married to for 28 years, and I'm like, good Lord. Everything about that is right and good. And so I was in the driveway, pulled out, watching her, and so I shot her a text, and she had her headphones on, so I thought she was going to get the text while I was doing it. And so I sent her this little lovey-dovey text, and then I'm pulling out, and I'm kind of looking back to see if she's got it yet, if she's going to be like, And as I did, I looked forward, so I'm driving about, 3 miles an hour, right, on Laurel. And so I kind of had drifted over a little bit, and so, but again, I'm like walking speed, and so I was like, oh, okay, and so I look up and I start to drift, and as I do, there's this fella in his car coming as well, and he's probably going 7 miles an hour, so it was pretty intense, and he's like, and I was like so pissed, and I'm like, you leathery old fart, and I'm just like, go from like deep love and affection for my wife to like, what the heck is wrong with you? And in my wisdom and righteousness, I thought, praise God for you that your problems are so small that this is the worst thing you have to deal with, be losing your mind over this almost collision of snails on a back street. It's like, skippity-doo, you're living a good life. And the Lord goes, or he's having such a hard time in another area that this tiny little thing is more than he can bear. And I'm like, oh, I want to be like you when I grow up. God, I was so righteous for like 2 seconds. But it really stuck with me to think about, I have no idea what was going on in that guy's life, but I do know that that was more than he could bear in that moment. And you just don't know, it's like a heart, only your own heart knows its own pain. So you really can't know fully what someone else is going through. And I think that's really important for each of us to understand in loving well is I can only know what you're going through by communicating with you, by seeking to be empathetic. I think I shared this with you before. There's a sign. I don't know if it's still there, but it used to be when we would teach in the Life Change program at the mission, and it said, be more kind than necessary. Everyone is fighting their own battle, or everyone is fighting some kind of a battle. And I thought, man, that's a good word, because you and I don't know what kind of battle somebody is fighting. We just don't. But we can know this. Everybody is fighting some kind of a battle. And we don't all wear it on the exterior all the time, but we're all fighting someplace. And this morning, what I want to do with this word, we're gonna go through Psalms 27 together, but the way I want to come at this is like we are fellow kingdom operators, okay? We are fellow practitioners of the faith. We are fellow sons and daughters that are alive in this time and adopted into dad's family, and we're seeking to extend his kingdom, and we're seeking to accomplish everything that he wants us to accomplish for the couple of years that we're here, right? We're going to be here probably, most likely, about 80 plus years is about what we're given, you know? Maybe longer if we have the strength, right? That's what the scriptures say. But we're seeking to follow the Lord together. And we're doing it in the same earth together. And so I want us as like friends today to look at this scripture to get together and be like, okay, let's learn together. And so can we do that? All right. So in that spirit, the first thing that the psalmist is talking about, and this is David. And how many of you guys know that David lived on this earth like we do? And he was facing some very extremely hard situations, and he dealt with a lot of them really, really well. He also really, really screwed up sometimes too, but he always just ran back to the Lord. You know, so what I'm saying is he's acquainted with living in this earth like we are. And so I want to glean from him in this psalm, how do we deal with the very real issues that happen in this world, the very real anxieties that happen in this world? I don't know if you guys have noticed, but man, it's like fear is for sale. Have you noticed that? I mean, it is just like everywhere you turn, it's like, hey, be afraid, buy this. Be afraid, take this course. Be afraid, vote this way. Like, it, you know, be afraid, join this cult. It roams the street, right? There is, I didn't mean this cult. This cult's fine. Wait, just kidding. Sorry. It's the spirit of the age, right? It's the spirit of the age. There's a very real sense of urgency. There's a very real, it's around. You look around. And by the way, guys, there's plenty to be concerned about in this earth. These are not made up issues that we're looking at. They're very real issues. And yet God has called us to be a people of peace, a people that also engage in an abundant life, a people that walk in love and are peacemakers, that we walk with the Prince of Peace. So it's like, how can this be? So as we're walking through this world together, how do we do that? How do we deal with those anxieties? How do we deal with those pressures? How do we deal with those like long fought battles, right? Everybody in this room is fighting a battle. Some are longer than others, but we're all engaged in something. And so he begins with this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord's the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? Well, then he lists it. When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, then my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. But he doesn't say no one came against him. They came against him. There's things coming against him. So this is real. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. The first thing is that with David, this is not just an internal battle. There are actual enemies. And guys, in our life, like these are not just internal battles that we're fighting, right? When we're dealing with fear, when we're dealing with anxiety, when we're dealing with a consistent sense of pressure or dread, a sense of urgency that's going on. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? It's real, okay? And it's not just an internal battle because you know what? In this earth, there are actual enemies, physical, spiritual, Also the results of the fall. Some of us in here are struggling with mental illness, and it's not any fault of our own. There's a physical issue, whether you inherited it through DNA or circumstance or what have you. Like, again, it's very complex. There's myriad reasons for it, but it's the battle that has found you, and your only choice in that is, do I fight? Right? My daughters get tired of me sometimes because one time one of my daughters said, Dad, you always say the same thing. I know. Wouldn't it be worse if I'd said something different every time? In my defense. But what one of the things I consistently say is this: we don't get to choose what battle presents itself. We just get to choose whether or not we're going to fight it. We don't get to choose. And so for some of us that are in that place, you might be dealing with depression or discouragement or some form of mental illness or some malady or a physical situation or someone that you know. Like, you didn't get to choose that. We don't get to choose that. But we do have some agency in how we're going to respond to that. And so this is part of what I think the psalm helps us with, is that invitation to respond in a way that's going to be beneficial unto the kingdom and beneficial unto those people that are near me. Maybe choose something other than, you leathery old fart, get happy. Maybe it would have been helpful. I don't know. I said it inside of the safety of my cab. He wouldn't even have known I was upset. I just smiled and was like, oh, sorry, and just swerved over, and I'm like, leathery old fart. So it probably would have been more ingenuous. Please forgive me for... Thank you. All right. So here's something that I think is really important. If we are going to continue to walk in peace as God has called us and continue to be able to thrive, I think is the right word, thrive and survive in this life and to move forward in what's available through Christ and his kingdom, then we have to deal with reality as it is. How many of you guys have heard the prayer of serenity, right? If you go to AA, then there's a prayer of serenity. And part of that prayer is, God, help me to accept the world as it is and not as I would have it. Right? That right there is like, I'm out. I'm like an intense optimist idealist person. It took me a long time to be okay with that prayer. I'm like, well, that's just like giving up. Well, anyway, I came back, I'm like, God, help me to accept that, right? And then it follows with this, and help me to change the things that I can, and to have the, and or to change the things that I can, and to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom to know the difference. There are things we're supposed to be engaged with, but there's other things that are bigger than us that we have to make some peace with, and that's complex, isn't it? And so as we're walking through this together, as we're looking at this psalm, David's not saying there aren't problems. He's not saying there aren't adversaries. He's not saying there isn't troubles. He's saying, in fact, there are. In fact, there are major problems. And this is something for us as we're dealing with fears, as we're dealing with anxieties, as we're dealing with a sense of like, can I make it? Or should I just give up? Can I make it, or should I compromise? As I'm dealing with that pressure and that fear, and I think I'm just going to use the word anxiety, okay? That's what I'm going to call it, right? Let's let it be the catch-all. But if there's an anxiety of like, how's this going to go? How's this going to end? We're going to call that anxiety today. And David's saying, look, if we're going to deal with this, then we're going to have to deal with life as it actually is, because I can't be in denial of what life is and also thrive. That's not going to work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So we're going to have to begin with the fact that, you guys, life is uncertain, and it is supposed to be. It's, did you like that statement? Yeah, it's fun. There's more. Life is uncertain, and it is supposed to be. It's the only way for people to have an opportunity to choose or reject God and eternal life with him without being threatened and coerced. The way that the earth is made with its uncertainty is because God himself is giving you the ability to choose him or not choose him. And you and I, our choices affect other people, and that creates uncertainty, and you can't have free will and certainty at the same time. So that's the world we live in. You got to accept it. It's on purpose, and it's actually coming from a loving God, but it is freaking terrifying, all right? It's not safe. Are you guys enjoying this? Yeah. I'm sorry. I, I am not enjoying this message. I like happy, cheery things. We'll get there. Okay, this life, it has goodness in it, but also time and chance are happening to all of us in this part of eternity. The earth has life and death in it. It has enemies and friends. It has terror and triumph. There's injustice and justice in it. We are experiencing all of that, and it is by design. There's a goodness that's in it, but it comes with time and chance. And we have to accept that, or we will always be anxious. Because we will be trying to deal with life as it isn't. And we'll be consistently disappointed and consistently at odds with reality. And that will result in anxiety. And for some of us, we got to start right there. That we're looking for certainty in an uncertain world. And it's an uncertain world because God is inviting us into eternity, which will be certain. But you can't have all things certain here. There are those that promise certainty, a utopian certainty on earth, and it always ends in tyranny. The only way to give certainty on this part of eternity is to take away your choices. Do you see that? Let me continue. So then the psalmist, he says, I've asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. So David, first of all, he's not starting by denying things as they are. He's like, this is what's happening. These guys want to destroy my flesh. They want to kill me. The enemies are coming. The armies are coming against me. There's real problems here, Lord. But I'm asking this one thing. This is what I desire. This is the one thing. I want to look at you, Lord. I want to gaze upon you in the midst of what's going on. I'm looking to you. He's taking his focus off the very real issues of the day, and he's looking at the Lord. All right, clue number one for us, right? It's okay. We can't be in denial, but we also don't have to just sit there and like look at the trouble like the train's coming. You know, he's like, get off the tracks. You don't have to stand on the tracks and look at the train. You can get off the track and look at me. Amen. He's also not only is he not in denial about what's happening, and we need to not be in denial about what's happening, okay? But he's also not trying to talk himself out of feeling a certain way. I think this is key, right? How many of us as believers just try to like command our emotions, right? Be not sad. You can kind of do that a little bit if you decide to be mad, all right, or manic. But they're both they're caricatures of what's actually happening. They're not. You guys are with me. It doesn't work, right? Who in here has tried it? Who likes to be mad instead of sad? Seriously, raise your hand. I'm me. I'd rather be mad than sad. It's just all this littering and the leathery farts on my road. It's like, oh, actually, I'm sad because my heart's broken. It's projecting, right? Transference. But rather, what he's doing is he's saying, okay, I'm not going to try to trick myself into feeling a certain way, but I am going to focus on God. There's a choice that's there. He's taking agency. He can't actually change that there's enemies coming against him. He doesn't say, you will make it to where no enemies ever come against me. He says, no, when the enemies come against me, you will be my salvation. And I'm choosing to look at God. I know this is basic, guys, but when we're in it, it's hard to do, isn't it? But it's vital that I don't try to say, okay, but I'm going to feel differently. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We're going to touch on that a little bit more, but commanding yourself to feel differently is oftentimes like truncating the voice of your soul. You're just trying to shut it up. You're giving it no voice. Hey, soul, I know you're weeping right now, but just shut up. Well, this doesn't work. Listen, it goes further. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He'll set me high on a rock, and then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I like that, right? It's like, think about my head. I mean, he's talking physically, but I think it's okay for us to imagine too, like when those enemies of fear and doubt and terror and concern and all that's coming, and you begin to turn to the Lord and you begin to focus on Him, after a while you start to notice it's like your thoughts start to rise above the fray. Because He is pulling you out of where you are. You can't do it, but He can do it. But you can choose to look at Him. What are you saying, Lord? What are you doing, Lord? Can you please be bigger than these very real things that I'm in? There's a shift that's happening right now. And this shift, too, that David's doing is that he's saying, okay, I am going to set my eyes on God. I am going to set my eyes on the one thing in this life that is certain. If we are trying to make an uncertain world certain, we're always going to have anxiety. But if I will focus on the things that actually are certain, which is that God Himself will be with me in the midst of all things, and He will preserve me. He will bring me through. I don't know what the timing is. I can't come in here and say, listen, do these three things, and this outcome will always happen. That's called certainty. Here's what I can tell you. He will certainly be there when you call on Him. And He will give you everything that you need to walk through whatever it is that you're facing. Those things are certain. And He will, in that perfect day, He is going to defeat death. Every injustice is going to be spoken to, and justice is going to be brought. The wicked will perish. Those that reject God will perish. And those that want God will live forever. And there will come a day where there is no more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more trafficking, no more being molested, no more mental illness, no more cancer, no more divorce. It'll be so good we actually won't be married anymore. Did you know that? We'll all be brothers and sisters. No more. It's forever with Him together as a family, enjoying His original desire for everyone that chooses Him. That's certain. And in this time, as we go through the uncertainties, we actually look up and we focus on Him and the certainty of who He is and will be, but also who He is now. You see that? The only certainty we have is God with me, God for me, and God will come and make all things new at the perfect time. He continues, I'll offer sacrifices in His tent with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. I said just a moment ago, like we can't command ourselves to feel a certain way. When we do that, oftentimes what we're actually saying is, shut up, soul. I don't want to feel this way right now. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be in pain. Whatever it is, but it is vital that we allow our soul to speak. You let your soul speak. Look what he says. He says, I will offer the sacrifices in His tent with shouts of joy. But he also says, Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. There's an invitation for us here in Psalm 27 to say, God, ouch. God, ah. God, I feel nothing. Whatever it is that you can bring it to the Lord. Have you guys ever heard vain imaginations? That term, right? Vain imaginations. What that means in the scriptures, vain imaginations, is where I take my imagination and I use it to imagine all the terrible things that could happen in the area of the thing I'm afraid of. Has anybody ever, you know what I'm saying? Like your wife's late from work and you're like, oh my God, she's probably dead on the side of the road. It's probably over at that one four-way that I'm always worried about. That's probably what it is, you know. Or you get like a new little bump on your arm, and you're like, it's probably cancer. That's probably what I went to the dermatologist because I had one that was like getting weird, and I'm like, that's weird, and it just kind of kept growing, and I'm like, no, it's more weird, and I'm thinking, oh, geez, I'm gonna die of cancer. Not even going to meet my grandkids. This was a little while ago. And so I went into the doctor and to get it looked at. And so, you know, she comes in and she's like 12 years old. And I'm like, I have cancer. And at some point I got old because I seriously was like, are you kidding me? This kid walks in. He's like, hello. I'm like, oh, come on. So I'm old and I'm dying of cancer. Anyway, she looks at it, and I go, so what's up? And she goes, oh, yeah, that's totally normal. She's like, that's just a little aberration. It just happens as you age. Come on. But here's the point. I had spent a lot of time thinking about what it was before I went and talked to that child doctor, Doogie Howser. So, yeah, and then me saying that makes me older, right? The kids are like, Doogie who? Anywho, all right. But I took time to meditate on like all the bad things based on a small amount of information and my fears. That's vain imaginations. It's like extrapolating upon what might happen, the things that you're afraid of. And when we're dealing with anxiety, that can happen. And it's vital that we don't do that. However, when you're dealing with anxiety, it is vital though that you don't just like try to go into denial. Like, I'm not scared, I'm not scared, I'm not scared. But meanwhile, right, your like heart is literally going, right? And you're tense and you're physically having a panic attack. And you don't get to just say, I'm not scared, everything's fine, everything's fine. That it's in that moment you actually want to give voice to your soul. It's in that moment that we can say, God, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. It's important for us to say, Lord, I actually am terrified right now that this is cancer. And start a conversation with him. It's okay to name the fear. That's different than vain imaginations. Vain imaginations is me looking at all my scariest scenarios and sort of imagining what I would do next. That's different than saying, God, hear me when I call. I'm afraid that my child is going to walk away from you, right? But when I'm talking to the Lord, it's a conversation. And so he might say, okay, and where would I be? You know, I actually, right? I'm like, gosh, Lord, you'd be with me. He's like, that's right. And where will I be with them? I think you'd be with them. He's like, that's right. It's like, oh, I feel better. Right? Is it the end of their life? You know, whatever. It's a conversation, but the point is, call out to him. I'm trying not to be too narrow about this application. Call out to him. He is a person, and he wants to respond to your soul where you are. So whatever your point of anxiety it is, talk to him about it. Invite him into that. Turn it into a conversation. Does that make sense? He will hear you. You know, in the 16th century, it's interesting, there was this thing that happened. Maybe some of you guys have heard it. But there was a phenomenon that happened, and there was a French king, one of the Charles, and he believed that he was made of glass. Like, he was a really powerful, athletic dude, very well-liked, did a lot of great things. And then at a certain point in his life, he developed this phobia that he was made of glass. And this is real. And so he would wear clothes. He made them make clothes with metal rods in them. And he wouldn't let his advisors get too close to him because he was afraid that if they touched him or if he fell, then he would break, because at some point somehow he began to believe that he was made of glass and he would shatter if too much happened to him. And as I was reading about that, I was thinking like, well, first of all, that's just fascinating, and it's kind of funny to the person who doesn't believe they're made of glass. To the person who's made of glass, suddenly you're like, I'm fragile. Like, I can't handle too much of this life. I can't handle being jostled too much. I can't handle more than what I'm currently facing. Like, I need this in my life. And I started thinking about this with regard to the level of anxiety that people are dealing with and the level of things that are coming at us. And at a certain point, I don't know about you guys, but we reach our limit and you can almost start to feel like you're made of glass. Like, if one more thing happens to me, I think it might break me and I don't know if I can make it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like what we can be invited into here is that David is inviting us to look at what's true, regardless of whether or not we feel like the next thing might shatter us. That we can look at what is true, we can turn to the Lord and say, okay, I might feel like I'm made of glass, but no matter how much that feels true right now, no matter how much it feels like I can't handle one more thing, I'm not made of glass. It's not helpful. It wouldn't be helpful to someone who believes that they're made of glass for you to tell them, well, if you feel that's true, then it probably is. Because that's a lie. I mean, you're agreeing with something that's not true. But if I'm to be empathetic with somebody who believes that they're made of glass, I also want to be helpful without adding to the amount of anxiety that they're having. So what could I do in that situation? And I think for all of us, what we can do is we can point to what is true. What is true? He will never leave you or forsake you. This will not break you. He is with you. He is with me. So when I am in those situations that are more than I can bear and I feel like the next thing will shatter me, then I can turn and look at him and remember, you know what? He's with me. This won't break me. I am not made of glass. Even if I feel brittle right now. My heart says this about you. Seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. It's like he's saying to his own heart, listen, we're going through these things, but I'm telling you, heart, I'm sorry. He's going through these things and his heart is telling him, yes, but seek his face. Seek the Lord. We need to speak kindly to ourselves as we walk through this time. We need to invite ourselves to gaze upon his goodness as we go through these times. We need to remind our own heart with kindness, you're not made of glass. Seek his face. Seek what he has to say at this time. Even though you don't feel better, you can still look at what's true. You don't even have to measure whether or not you feel anything at all when you're in it. You can speak to your own heart. You can make that choice. Amen? There are a lot of voices. It says, because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Don't give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. Sometimes those voices are in our head. Sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's on the airways. Sometimes it's an old guy that's really mad at you on Laurel Street. But whatever they are, at the end of the day, our inheritance is from the Lord. At the end of the day, his perfect love casts out our fear. At the end of the day, in an uncertain world, I can turn and I can choose to look at the certainty of him being with me. And not only will he someday fix everything in the future, but also there's goodness here today. And as we're walking through this, we can't just put everything in the future. It's true, right? Outside of eternity, there is no justice. Justice will be fully served when he comes and we live forever. But we also can't just put everything in the future. We also have to recognize that there is goodness today. We have to look at those things today. And he says this, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. We look at what is good right now. In those times when we feel like life is going to shatter me because of this that's going on, it's very real. You don't have to be in denial about it, but you can look up and you can say, even though this is happening, I will still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I can be certain that there are good things going on around me in the land of the living, that he is moving in the land of the living, that not everything is broken, that not everything is wicked. So this speaks to both the end of this uncertain age, but it also pulls the hope of God into the present. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Today is there is good, and I can choose to acknowledge it. I might feel nothing in this moment, but I can see it. I can see it. I will see the goodness of the Lord. How many of you guys know sometimes we try to feel something? But here's an invitation. Sometimes you can just see it. Sometimes you could just choose to look at it. And it's okay if you don't feel anything yet. It's okay. You can look and go, I can see it. I might not feel a thing right now, but I can see that. I'm acknowledging it's there. That's my win. That's my power move right now. I might not have anything good going on that I can think of in my life, but I can see something awesome going on in your life. And I'm going to rejoice in it because it will come back around for me. And after a little while, you do start noticing more. When you start look, you know, if you guys ever notice that you find what you're looking for? Like if you're looking for brokenness, you're going to find it. But if you're looking for goodness, you're also going to find it. So so when we do this, this is our power move, okay? Today, I'm going to find it. Today, I'm going to acknowledge it. I might feel nothing, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to see it. And I'm going to wait for God to redeem all things. I'm going to have to wait for all things, but I can be a witness of what's good right now. And I like this. I like this because I don't know about you guys. Does anybody here get discouraged? I know you're like scared to admit it now, right? You're like, oh, I mean, yes. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I get discouraged, okay? I'm a guy that's up, okay? But there's a down on the other side of this. And when I'm in there, I got to fight. And I like this, right? This is an act of defiance to the dark thoughts, the very real brokenness around, the enemy, even the circumstances that make me feel brittle and fragile and tired. The act of defiance is to point towards the good. To see it. Even if I can't touch it yet, even though my head is aching and my hands are trembling and my bones feel like glass, but they're not. I will see the goodness of the Lord today, and I will not break. I'll be courageous in my God, and I won't shatter. I'm not made of glass. I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you know what ends up happening? After a while, I also notice that my emotions do catch up. They do catch up. Sometimes it's not the same day. Sometimes it's not the same week. But they catch up. And I find that place by looking and remembering that I will see the goodness of the Lord when I look to him. Are you guys with me? So I want you to be kind to yourselves. I want you to be empathetic one with another. I want us to be good listeners. And I want us to point towards him because he hears us when we call and he can carry us through every anxiety, everything that we face. Amen? I hope this was helpful. I want to ask, we're going to have a time for prayer, and I'm going to release you right now. But before we started, Kristen got this very quick word, and I think it's a point of invitation for prayer today. So she is speeding on up here, and I want the prayer team to come up here because we want to be able to minister to you guys today. So, Kristen.
During worship, I just really felt like there's people here that are really looking at something. Maybe it's a promise that you felt like God gave you a long time ago or something going on in your life that you just feel really, you're really feeling broken over, or you just cannot, it's like you can't find hope for it anymore. Like you just, it feels so hopeless. And just the verse that came to me was in Romans 4 when, you know, God had promised Abraham a very specific promise that he'd be the father of many nations. And here he is barren, and like they're barren and it's not happening. But it says that he believed in the God who raises dead things back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Like, so when we can't see it, he still believed in the character of God. I don't know how this is going to happen, very much like what you've been talking about. But I believe and trust you that even if the thing in front of me is actually dead right now, that you're the God that can raise it back to life. You're the God that can create new things out of nothing. That he is the God that makes all things new. And so I just want to encourage you today, if you're feeling that place, and I couldn't agree more with what the sermon's been about today, but there's times when I don't have hope in me, but I can trust in him. But we're also part of a body. And I can call up my friend, and there's one in the room right now, I've called 100 times, and she can stand there, and where I don't have hope or faith or I'm grieving too much, she can stand there, and she does have hope and faith in that space. And she can pray for me on my behalf. And I really, truly believe that prayers have been answered not because of the faith in me, but the faith of those around me in that moment to pray for me into that God who creates new things out of nothing and brings dead things back to life again. He makes all things new. So we'd love to have you come up. We would love to stand there and just pray with you in that space and believe and look at the character of God. Thank you.
Also come up for any other thing that we can pray for you for. So people that are coming up, that might be them. But also we want to minister to you in your areas of influence and responsibility. So if you want us to bless you today, we want to agree with you in what you're already engaged in. So can we get the rest of the prayer team up here? You are dismissed. Let us pray for you. And God bless you guys. Have a happy Sunday.